Hi everybody, good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly call, the weekly support call. I know it's always a tough time to find the perfect time for these calls, but it makes for a regularly scheduled time, and some people work and some people don't. I know it's a tough time, but it's at least consistent. So anyway, I do have everybody on Q&A mode. So if you have a question at any time during the call, a *6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And I'm waiting for my my guest today, who is John Fedro, and he is a mobile home guy, makes a lot of money dealing with mobile homes, and he lives here in Austin with me. But he came from Florida, I believe. In fact, when I first met him, he had just moved here from Florida, and he said he invested in mobile homes. And I thought, well, gee, that's not going to fly here, not in Austin. And he said, oh, he'd be surprised. And then I ran into him again, I guess a year later or so, and he did a little training session for us on mobile homes and investing in mobile homes, and I sort of just took a little bit more look into them and saw what he was doing, and realizing that there's a lot more spread opportunities with mobile homes that I hadn't realized before. So I don't see him in my list of people yet, so I might actually just have to put you guys on hold and give him a call and see if he's going to be on. So if you guys don't mind, hold on just a minute, and I will be right back. All right, everybody, I've got John Fedro on the line with us now. And John, I've got everybody in a Q&A mode, and I just want to remind everybody that if you have a question for either John or myself, *6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And I was just, John, I was just giving them an introduction about you and how I first met you in my weekly networking meeting, and you had said that you invested in mobile homes and you had just moved here from Florida, and I thought, oh, well, gee, I can see it in Florida, but I don't see it here. But then just after watching what you do and how you're doing it, I'm just a lot more aware of how many mobile homes are out there and really the spread and the opportunity and that's there is really, it really is sort of like a little niche that is often ignored. So, John, would you just give us a little quick introduction on how you got started with mobile homes?
Sure. Hi, Jean. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming here on a Saturday afternoon or in the replay mode. A little bit about me. I've been doing this for 11 years. I didn't want to do mobile homes. I've never lived in a mobile home. But when I got started back in 2002, almost 12 years now, when I got started back in 2002, I read the Ron LeGrand books. I just soaked up as much information as I could. Zero of it was mobile homes, of course. And I did all the stuff that they said. I knocked on doors. I did letters. I put out signs. And, you know, at that time, either I was just a really small fish in a big pond. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any money backing me. I looked like I was 15. Long story short.
I had to chuckle at that because you do still look like you're 15.
That's good, healthy living. That's what that is.
Yeah. Okay, well, go ahead.
Basically, I just failed into it. After three months, I had exhausted my small life savings of just a few thousand dollars because I was very young. I wasn't quite 15, but so I had gone through that money, and one of the first people that really called me that I heard the motivation. I didn't even realize it was a mobile home at the time. Actually, I was just writing an article about this, which is funny that we're talking about now. But so one of the first deals I did, I drove to the home. It was inside of a mobile home park, which, of course, most of us know there are mobile homes in parks. There's mobile homes attached to private land. There's mobile homes that are on private land that you're not going to buy the land. You're just going to move the home. So mobile homes come in all different areas and shapes and locations. But this one was in a park on rented land, and I was just going to buy the home. And I was so nervous. I was so scared because I knew that this lady who needed help, who was motivated to sell, she was going to see right through me. I had no idea what I was doing. I was scared. Again, there were so many things that I was just so prejudiced about myself and completely thinking negatively. So I got almost to the driveway, and I had to pull over, and I physically got sick right on the side of the road, and I didn't know what to do. I was so scared, but I pushed through it, and you know, I said, "Well, I made it this far, and I don't want a job. You know, I want all the things that I wanted in my brain and goals that I had." So I went to that appointment, and that was my first deal. It was an amazing deal in a park. I don't have that one anymore. It actually just sold late last year. I typically sell homes where the buyers, they give me a move-in fee, and then they make monthly payments for between 5 and 10 years inside parks. This one finally paid off, and the people inside of it are very happy. And so that was it. And then from there, I mean, it was all, nobody was doing mobiles in my, very few people were doing mobiles in my area. I had, you know, deals to choose from. I could cherry pick. Other investors were giving me their leads, and one thing led to another. And I didn't want to be that mobile home guy. I didn't want this life. But after a while, you know, you get proud of it, and you understand that. Oh, okay, well, the margins are huge. You're helping sellers. You're helping buyers. These are good quality homes, and the money is green. I mean, you can spend it, and the competition is significantly reduced compared to traditional single-family homes. So that's a little bit about me and how I got started some 11, 12 years ago.
Well, I want to make a comment about how you got physically sick, and you pushed through it anyway, and I'm very proud of you for doing that because, you know, there's a lot of, especially when you're learning the real estate business, there's a lot of you don't know what you don't know, and you know, sometimes you just have to learn by doing, and that's exactly what you did. I'm sorry that you got sick, but after you made that deal, you know, I mean, I felt, you know, the knots in my stomach and all that too. I find myself in situations where it's like, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? And it's nerve-wracking, but once you pull through and push through, you know that the next time you get into it, it's going to be so much easier. So,
great, you know, point. Great point. And I'm super, I pat myself on the back for that moment as well. And it really goes to show, and I tell folks that I help, I tell just everyone, well, not everyone, but I tell a lot of people that, you know, you're getting into this business, you are not going to be the same person 1 year from now. If you are active, if you are out there, if you're in the trenches, you are not going to be the same person that you are today as you will be 12 months from now, in a very good way. So.
I'm sure. I mean, just, you know, your level of confidence, mm-hmm. you know, comfort level with dealing with people, understanding the situation, and understanding a mobile home transaction.
Right.
That's one of the things that really surprised me, and I don't know if this is nationwide or just statewide, but mobile homes are generally considered personal property. It's not real estate.
It depends on where they're sitting. If they're in parks, they are personal property in most states. Now, in New Hampshire, which is one of the only states that does this, in New Hampshire, they are considered real property no matter if they're in parks and you don't own the land, or they're sitting on land which they're attached to the land and you own. Most states, except for New Hampshire, it's personal property when it's in a park, just like when a car is sitting in a park, a parking lot. But when it's attached to real land that you also own, and it's attached, they're married together, the title's thrown away, it has a legal description, that's considered quote-unquote real property, just like a single-family home would be.
So let's say I am somebody that, you know, I send out the postcards and you know, I just pick a zip, you know, just do a blast on a zip code, and I happen to, you know, send it to a bunch of people that have mobile homes, and I get start getting these calls in their mobile homes, you know, and this is the first time I'm encountering that. You know, what if I'm the kind of person that, you know, knocks on doors and deals with regular houses, how am I going to approach this person differently?
Well,
transaction.
Sure. The important thing to note is whether you're a traditional seller, you're a mobile home seller, you know, sellers are good people. Some of them are not very motivated at all. Some have money, they have time to just sit and wait. Others are more motivated. Now, as investors, we're looking for those more motivated type people. They need to move, they want to move in the next 30, 60, maybe even up to 90 days, but there's some sort of need to sell. Now, with regards to buying that home, that mobile home, if it's on land, you can pull comps. Depending on what exit strategy that you're looking at, you can just pull comps like you would a traditional single family home, and that'll give you some sort of ballpark to work from to what should I purchase this home for. Now, on land, the exit strategy, if you're thinking about selling this and, you know, I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to buy it low, I'm going to sell it high, my end user is going to come in, he's going to get a mortgage, he's going to go to get a conventional financing, he's going to pay cash. People that buy mobile homes, whether on land or in parks, unless we're talking about hotspot areas, California coastline, some parts of Florida, a few other areas around the country, most people don't have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 cash lying around to buy that mobile home. Additionally, mobile home financing, conventional bank financing, is not dried up, but is very, very difficult to obtain. Not only are we qualifying the home, but of course we're also qualifying the borrower as well. When I say we, I mean the underwriter. So,
A mobile home, unlike a house, is a depreciating property. So I can see why it's hard to get loans.
It is depreciating, and it's not depreciating at the same time.
Okay.
When we're by the book definition, you are exactly right. It is a depreciating. I'm not going to argue with you there. However, when we're purchasing homes, we're purchasing them. A good way I can say this to sort of tie into the depreciation factor is that when we're purchasing a mobile home, we're typically purchasing it, and by the way, you can purchase any mobile home you want, but when I purchase my homes and folks that I help, we look for people that are obviously motivated. They're looking at their home as a headache. They're very emotional about it. I don't want to be here. It's not worth much to me. I'm sure we can all sort of appreciate that with regards to something. I know I've had to sell a car in the past. I've had to sell a couple other knickknacks here on Craigslist, and I just wanted them gone. I didn't care about the price. Somebody just get it out of here.
Right.
So we're buying homes inexpensively, but the homes are good quality. Now, when we turn around and we sell that home, now we're selling it to somebody that really sees the value in this. They're going to raise their family there. They're going to stay there for 5, 10, 20 years. And they will pay a premium for this home, especially if we're offering terms that we can sell. Now, that still makes the home a depreciation, especially if it's in a park. It depreciates. On land, depending on what the land is doing, the home and the land together, they can appreciate. So you can buy it for $80,000, price goes up in the area, and now you can sell it. If there is a lender and your buyer can get approved at a bank, they can go ahead and purchase it for the new value, which might be, you know, $100,000 or whatever it may be. So mobiles on land, because of that land they can appreciate. But it certainly doesn't mean, even in parks, that they're just, you know, you're buying it and oh, you're screwed now, it's depreciating. You know, you're losing money. it doesn't quite work like that. In the real world anyway. So going back to your question about what should somebody do, because I really think and I know that it's very easy when you're coming from that traditional single family home world, investing world, it's so easy to overpay for a mobile home in a park. It's so easy to overpay for a mobile home on land, to not realize who your buyers are, to not realize what they'll pay. So if anybody does come across, and I'm sure we've all come across mobile homes, maybe we've tried to do something with them, we didn't know what to do with them, you really have to understand your specific market, what those homes can resell for, and the demand in that market, and then you can make some, you know, strategic purchase offers for that home, depending on your exit strategy as well. So sort of a vague answer, but a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it brings up some more questions, on my end. We had talked, I guess, maybe a couple of years ago, a year or two ago, and there's been a major change just in the housing market since then. And I know, you and I are both here in Austin, and Austin's just people are, I don't know, somebody said 90 people moving in a day or something like that, but we've got nothing but, growth. Targeted for Austin, and we're seeing cranes come up and new builds and all of this stuff happening here. What have you seen as far as the mobile home market since we're experiencing this acceleration here?
Well, there's two main markets around the country, and I'm helping folks in every state now, and I'm very happy and proud about that. But what I've noticed is, thank you. That there's two main types of markets. There's a market where it's going to be easier to sell your mobile home, which that's often. It's very easy to sell a mobile home, but then finding that nugget of gold is a little bit more challenging. We're going to spend a little bit more time doing that. And that's Austin, and that's a few other areas around the country where it's just, you can clean a window or you can put the home for sale, and a week later, a day later, you're going to have it sold, depending on how you're selling it. In other areas of the country, and even other areas of the state, it's going to be much easier. There's going to be a higher supply of available mobile homes to purchase. And then on the selling side, depending on how you sell, it can take longer to resell. So that's kind of obvious through, if you've ever done real estate, those are the two different sort of markets. But
right.
In Austin, I covered that.
It sounds like you're having very similar issues that our local investors are having, trying to find a deal where we can, have a good profit spread.
Well, let me know what you think about this. My philosophy there is you can't, and I've been so locked into mobile home investing for so long now. I mean, I do some traditional investing, but really it's mobile homes. So I'm curious on your opinion of this. My philosophy, you can't predict where lightning is going to strike. Unless you have a lightning rod, but I'm not even talking about lightning. I'm talking about when a seller needs to sell their mobile home, when what I call a top priority seller comes into the market, they are behind on payments, they need to move, and they need to move in the next 30 days or less, maybe 45 days, maybe 60 days, but they have to move soon. That's the kind of seller that I want to talk to. And you can't predict where that seller is going to be, but what you can do is get your branding out there and name awareness and your spread over not just our county, Gene, but the surrounding counties as well. People know who I am. Park managers know who I am. Other realtors know who I am. Investors, my advertising that's out there. Owners know who, you know, there's just so, I have all these, I'm sort of a spider, if you will, and I'm sitting on my web, and I'm just sort of waiting for a little jiggle, you know, over here, over there. And that's sort of my, not secret, it's not really a secret, but that's sort of the way I run my business, is to have, you know, to be very well known throughout a few counties. That way, I'm not sort of ever kind of scrounging for a deal. I always have a number of offers out there, a number of potential deals in my pipeline. And I'm curious on, yeah, your thoughts about that.
I love it. I think it's great. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the market is doing, really. You're always going to find, you know, somebody that inherited something that they really don't want, or they, you know, there's a family situation and an urgent, you know, whatever the issues are that cause people that need to move quickly, they're going to happen, whether you're in a rising economy or declining economy. And, you know, I love the fact that you said that you've done some good things. One is the park managers know who you are. I mean, that's like the security guard at the gated communities, you know. I mean, they know all of the gossip. I think I wrote a blog post on all of, you know, what you can find out in these gated communities. So I think that's perfect. And you're you know, seem to be a nice, friendly guy. And who knows, I bet you send them a little gift every now and then just so that they keep thinking of you. Your brand is out there. You've got a name out there so that people recognize that you're there if they ever need you. I think that's awesome. And you're not spending a whole lot of time trying to scramble, you know, and get to, you know, trying to find that one gem. So I think that's good. And I love the county surrounding areas, because there are a lot of, you know, rural opportunities where mobile homes are there and you just don't know it. So I think that's great. Now, we do have a question in the queue already, and I'll get to you in just a minute. I was just thinking about something. Okay, well, I forgot what I was thinking of, so I'm going to go ahead to the question. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, hi, Robin.
Hi, Dean and John. This is Robin in Austin. Just wanted to say, first off, I definitely appreciate your candor about speaking of your fear when you first started. I have plenty of that. And, you know, it really is all about pushing through your comfort zone, you know, or that's what I keep telling myself. The other question I had, I know nothing about mobile homes. This is a couple part question, but can you speak a little bit about, like, do you usually rehab these? Do some of them just not need rehab? Do you get them enough of a discount where you can just turn around and make a profit? And do you do rent-to-owns with these? And can you also possibly mention just like configurations of mobile homes? I mean, are we talking single wide, double wide? I don't really have a vision in my head of what a typical mobile home looks like.
Sure. Okay. Well, that sounded like a three-part question to me, so I'm going to try to get to all three.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't count well.
No apologies, never ever needed. And thanks for, I'm more than happy to confess my early on in my career by getting sick, and I'm very proud of that, actually. So a couple things. Let's work backwards. The configurations, double wides, triple wides, there's very few triple wides out there that you'll probably be ever investing in or seeing. Most homes are single wides, and depending on when they were built, it's anywhere from they can be 10 feet wide. However, I would really suggest 12 feet wide for a single wide, or 14 or 16. So that's some specifics. Now, a double wide is just two of those pieces together. Now, here's a tip. Do not ever move a double wide. If you find a double wide that has to be moved, you're looking on Craigslist, double wide, free, beautiful home, must be moved. When you move a double wide, it's only a matter of time before, when you set that up on your own piece of land in a park, that seam is going to start leaking, because there's a seam where the two meet, and, you know, people are going to, I may get, you know, some feedback here, but that's my rule of thumb. But I love double wides. If you're going to buy them and they can remain in the park, if you're going to buy them, they can remain on their own land, double wides are great. Single wides are great, too. Two bedrooms sell quicker than one bedrooms. I don't invest in one bedrooms. Three bedrooms, they sell better than two bedrooms, and so on and so forth. With regards to selling them, there's two exit strategies that I typically use. Three now. I used to rent, and then I stopped renting for about 8 years, and then I just started re-renting again last year. So there's renting, of course. You can rent a home. In a park, it really depends on the park if you can rent or not. Most parks will not let you rent or sublease a home out. So 90% of the time, when I sell, I'm selling for a move-in fee of between, personally in my business, between $3,000 and $7,000 as a move-in fee, and then monthly payment. Now, in other areas of the country, you can get less than that. In other areas of the country, you can get a little bit more than that as a move-in fee in a park. But then they're making your tenant buyer is making you monthly payments. And like I said before, we're selling them on an average of between 5 years and 10 years in a park. And then obviously on land, you're going to create or wrap the existing notes for something closer to maybe 15, 20, 30 years worth of payments. So let me know if there's any follow-up questions to either of those. And then going to your first question about repairs, very good question. Now, the buyers who we sell to, and one of the first things I have people who ask me for advice, who I personally help, is to know who your buyers are. And sort of a Reader's Digest version of the buyers all around the country, from what I'm learning and what I've learned, is that they are handy people. Most folks are handy that want to buy and live in a mobile home. So with that said, going that same vein of thinking, you can oftentimes, and I oftentimes, sell homes that need cosmetic repairs. Mm. They don't need plumbing issues. They don't need electrical issues. I mean, they don't need those problems. I make sure that electric's fine, plumbing's fine, central heat and air, things like that work in the home. But there may be some cosmetic issues. There may be a hole in the floor. There may be some holes in the walls. So oftentimes I'm selling them either as handyman specials or they need light cosmetic work. That way when I move somebody into the home, realize that every dime that you spend on a mobile home when you're fixing it up, and by the way, we never want to sort of go overboard when fixing up a mobile home. We just fix what's broken. We don't necessarily need to upgrade anything because we can only sell a mobile home, especially in a park, for a finite price. Granted that it's going to be a premium price, but we're going to have to wait to get every dime back that we spent. We're going to have to recoup that, then we can start making profit. Plus, your buyers, except for you being in Austin and some places on the East Coast, cities on the West Coast, where they don't have a lot of money, you're going to find a buyer, a good buyer, somebody that's hardworking, honest, no evictions, family, good quality, clean people who want to move into that home. You're going to find a lot more of them that only have $2,000, $3,000 as a move-in fee versus $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 as a move-in fee. So my advice is when you're selling a mobile home, and again, this is if you're selling it for payments, if you're selling it on a conventional method with financing or cash, then you might want to fix it up, make it look as beautiful as possible. But again, 90% of my business is selling it for move-in fee and then monthly payments for cash flow. That I would advise everybody listening and you yourself, you can sell it needing some cosmetic cleanup. And your buyers, they'll be more than happy to do that. It'll sell quickly. You don't have to sell it for as much as a move-in fee. The buyers will come in there, do the work, clean it up, paint it the way they want it, put down the flooring that they want, and then they're more attached to the home through all that sweat equity anyway. So that was sort of a long answer, and I hope it all made sense. Are there any follow-up questions or thoughts, concerns?
Thank you so much. You more than answered all my questions, and this is such great information, and yeah, really opening up a whole new, you
know,
I've never thought about mobile homes before, so all very, very, very interesting. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. You're very welcome.
Now, one of the things that surprised me when I saw saw John speak was when he does, when he figures his payments and the way he finances them is, if I remember right, 0% interest, right?
Yes. That's another 3 or 4 minute long answer. But yes, I personally, and again, you can sell them however you like. I like to be extra safe, extra conservative. There's a lot of new rules coming out there. And since 2010, I stopped. Now, this is the first part I'm going to say is on mobile homes and parks. Mobile homes on land, those two separate homes, those two separate animals are completely different. We buy them differently. We structure it differently. We resell them differently. Still with payments, mind you, but different paperwork, different procedure. So in parks, starting in 2010, before that, I would be, I'm sorry to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, I was greedy. I charged as much interest as I could. I wanted to get every nickel I could out of the homes. And yeah, for lack of a better word, I was in my 20s and I was greedy. And looking back, I wasn't happy on a few things. But anyway, now legally back in 2010 and for a couple other reasons, I stopped charging interest. So I don't charge interest anymore, and there's no prepayment penalties to the unsecured notes that I have on mobile homes inside parks. And so inside parks, yeah, it's a very, very friendly, very, very easy repayment program. Now, I do sell them for a considerable amount of sort of a premium. I mean, everybody listening, we're buying them and around the country from the West Coast to the East Coast, North, South, we are not spending more than $9,000 in a park. Now, even when I say $9,000, that's pretty high to me because really the average of what we're buying is anywhere from between $2,000 and $6,000. And these are nice places. They're not some sort of mobile home makeover disaster show that you're watching or you have in your mind of what an old style like pull behind trailer is. These are nice single wide, double wide. Again, the sellers they need to sell. There are few people in the market that can come to the table with the cash, with the strategy, with the payments to the seller, and that can really close on this home. So that's where we step in. We're buying nice quality places, and we're not spending that much. Now we resell it. We do a little bit of work to the home, and we resell it on a premium. And that's anywhere from realistically between 18 and the high 30s, depending on the area. So we're buying them for under 9, selling them for, you know, in the high 20s, $30,000. And so in parts, I don't charge interest, but I'm still making a profit, obviously. And then on land, we do. I mean, it's pretty standard with regards to a traditional home. If we're wrapping the note, if we're creating our own notes, or we're having that created, I do charge interest for sure.
Right. Well, let's just, you know, just to keep things simple, let's just speak about mobile homes that are in mobile home parks.
Okay.
That way you don't have to, because, you know, we're dealing with two different, like you said, two different types of transactions. And,
sure.
And there's probably more parks
down,
out there.
That's William Cannon, you know, to the right, all those.
Okay, I had to mute Robin. So
somebody's driving.
Sorry, Robin. But she's out there looking for mobile homes. That's probably what.
Good for you, Robin.
So anyway, I mean, I like the idea of in the mobile home parks, but I mean, how can you talk somebody into accepting such a low? You know, well, a couple of thoughts.
One, if somebody's been trying to get into real estate, they say, but I don't have any money, I don't have enough, you know, I mean, they say you don't really need much money to do real estate, and, you know, it's not really true. You do need some, but if you're, you know, if you're somebody with $10,000 in a savings account, and, you know, there's certainly no reason you can't do this all by yourself, how do you talk somebody into accepting such a low payment?
You're talking about our seller, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Like you're okay. At $9,000 at the max in a park.
Sure. Yep. Okay. So great question. The first thing I want to note is that you had mentioned just in passing that there would be or there seems to be more mobile homes in parks than there is on private land. In reality, I was very surprised to find out that the opposite is true.
Oh, okay.
75% of the mobile homes and manufactured homes in existence today are actually located on private land. So only a quarter of them are located in, you know, what we think of mobile home parks are. So
okay,
that's just
well,
sort
that's
of an interesting tidbit. Now, going to the other question, that's very important because somebody listening, I know anybody listening, they can have a thought of, you know, John, you are taking advantage of folks. How are you living with yourself? You are, you know, convincing, you're coercing people into taking such a low amount to sell their home. And then from, you know, the outsiders looking in, that can seem very accurate. That is not the case at all. When we come in and there is no way to trick a seller, to strong arm a seller, to convince a seller to take your offer unless it's in their best interest. And I talk to my sellers and I teach my people that I'm helping to talk to your sellers like your family members. And that's the God's honest truth. If my family members, if these sellers can sell their mobile home for more than what I can give them, for more than the payments, for more than the cash price, I want them to take it. I mean, it's not, you know, whatever situation that they're in, bad things happen to good people, but if they can sell it for more, I'll even help them, you know, I'll give them some insights how they can sell their homes for more, or can they, if they can sell their home for more, I will give them some insight on that. So we do go, and I go through great lengths to, you know, have a seller like me, trust me, believe what I'm saying. I want to by far educate a seller, not just to what I can do and not how I can help them, which I can help them quickly, I can get approved, I'm serious. You know, we go through many different options that I can help them with. But I also want to let them know, listen, you know, how are you marketing? Well, let's do this and that, you know, have you thought about doing this? You know, how long do you have in the home? Do you have time to wait? You know, if we have any buyers, because I'm marketing to buyers as well, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll send some your way. And if that happens, great. Because honestly, this real estate business, Gina, as you know, although it's nationwide, it is a really small group of people. It's a really small world, and a bad reputation can get around very quickly. And also, that's not a business that I want to run is, you know, manipulating people or anything like that. So I think to answer your question and so giving sort of that 30,000-foot view, to answer your question about how to accept people or how to convince people to accept these low offers, which I recently did a blog post about, so this is kind of fresh on my mind, is to educate a seller to all the different ways that you can help them, follow up with that seller, and talk to enough sellers. You know, don't just have one seller that you're talking to, and then you sit down, you sort of have your hands, you're sort of sitting on your hands, you're just waiting until this seller either passes on your deal or they accept it now or in a week or in 2 weeks or in 10 weeks. Make enough offers to enough sellers. Again, not just in your county or parish, but in the surrounding counties as well, and help enough sellers. That way, the sellers over time, sometimes daily, you know, the same day, sometimes a week later, a month later, 2 months later, then they'll come back to you. When they realize that they can't sell for more, then they'll come back to you. And if they can sell for more, great. I mean, really, like there are so many sellers out there that I hope that every seller, because they're a person, they're a mother, they're a father, they're a brother, sister, a person, that, you know, they shouldn't, they're selling, they're one of their most valuable assets. And it's, and if it's, if they can find somebody who will give them more money, you know, God bless them. They should take their money and run. That's what I tell people.
Yeah, and
so,
I think that's really important. Just in the real estate business, just in the whole industry, is that there is plenty for everyone. It's like you said, go ahead and take the better deal. Go for it. I wish you luck, because you know you've got more sellers that are coming your way.
Yeah, big time. And you know, word of mouth is so funny. I've gotten referred deals. So sellers have said no to me, and some sellers call back and they say yes. Some I follow up with and then they say yes. Others, they don't ever say yes. And then some sellers, I don't get the deals, but they refer me because they like me and they trust me. They refer me to their other seller friends, and I've gotten those deals. So word of mouth and being polite and being the type of person that people want to deal with, that's going to go a long way. You might not get the, you know, deal A, but down the road, it'll more than pay off.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. Now, do you ever offer any, like, incentive to the park managers? Or?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. not always. Some park managers, there's a few different types of park managers. Some, they want to do what's best for their community. I mean, they love their community. They just want it to thrive and prosper, and they don't ask anything in return. Other park managers, they don't care if you're there, but they're not going to go to great lengths to help you. And then other park managers, they don't want the competition. They don't want you there. And that last one, by the way, is the vast minority, so I'm glad to say that. But typically, yes, I'll give, depending on what they feel is fair, depending on the deal itself, I will definitely say thank you to them in one way or another.
Okay. Well, I want to remind everybody that if you've got a question, a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. How many mobile home payments do you have coming to you just in general?
Well, I don't feel comfortable saying that, but what I will say is that,
that's fine.
That now all the properties that I have, they are in trust, so none are coming to me. They're all coming to different trusts that I control. However, I've been doing this for, I thought it was 11, but it's really 12 years. There was some months that, and I've been active the whole way through, there are some months that I was doing, and I was wearing all the hats here. I didn't start outsourcing my business till about 6 or 7 years in, and I was doing between 4 and 5 deals per month on average for about a year straight, and that almost burned me out. I was doing so much. But typically I average 1 deal per month, 1 to 2 deals per month, and that's still what I currently do today, is about 1 deal a month.
Okay, so and that's with, you know, you get the property, and then you secure a buyer, and you get that move-in fee of $3,000 to $7,000, and you write up a contract, and then the payments start coming the next month.
Unless I sell it for cash, which in the Austin market you can do, that's very possible, and in other markets it's very possible that. Now, if you're going to sell it for cash, realize that, you know, doing simple math here, if we're buying it for, let's say, 5, if we plan on selling it at cash, we're only going to be able to sell it for around $15,000, $12,000, $13,000, something like that. If you're selling it for payments, now that's where you can obviously charge a little bit more for that premium, and you can charge up, you know, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, depending on the home. And then kind of going one little layer further, if the home needs a lot of repairs, you just don't want to do a lot of work to this one, sometimes I move people into my homes that they're obviously low risk, no evictions, good quality, decent credit, hardworking. But I don't sometimes, very few times, I require less than $1,000 to actually move into the home. So on average, it is about 3 to 7 for me, but I want people to, you know, listening, that depending on the home, depending on a lot of factors, It can be less than that. It can be more than that. So, but yeah, starting the next month, they're making payments. They continue to make payments. If they default, interest comes back to me and my company. They are evicted. I'm happy to say that over the 12 years, I've only had to do 2 evictions because most things can be solved amicably. And yeah, and this is a fantastic business.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And what you just mentioned, I've got two questions in the queue at this point also. But what you said was a magic word, evictions, mm-hmm. and not foreclosure.
Yes.
So that
would you like me to elaborate on that, or
just real quickly, because I do have some okay. people that are chomping at the bit with questions.
Okay, fair enough. So we do sell, and the paperwork that I use is the same paperwork that I've used for a while. It has been adapted these past few years with the SAFE Act, Dodd-Frank. However, we do sell. We sell the complete interest in the home day one. We're still talking about a mobile in a park. On land is a little bit different. But a mobile home in a park, we sell the home completely day one. We don't own it. If they default on that payment to us, we do have paperwork in place that reverts interest back to us. They're on a month-to-month rental agreement at that point, and we can then evict them rather than foreclose. And in a lot of states, depending on if it's a judicial or non-judicial state, that foreclosure process can take up to a year. It can take, in Texas, it can take a month, although with new laws coming out, it will take 6 months. So the long story short is, yes, we can and we do evict. You know, God forbid if we ever have to. But again, like I said, 98% of the time or more, you know, people don't want an eviction on their record. You know, they just
right.
need time. They need a friendly, somebody to a little sort of understand. So, yeah, that's very rarely an issue.
Okay. And you mentioned your blog. What is, how can I read your blog?
Oh, you can go online, and it is mobilehomeinvesting.net.
Mobilehomeinvesting.net. Okay, let me get to the questions. Hold on.
Yes. All right.
Okay, we've got Gina.
Hi, Gina. Hi, Jean and John. This is Val and Gina.
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Yes, nice to hear from you as well. When I saw that Gene was going to have you on the call, I said, oh, I got to get on. Because I don't have a question, but I just want to say that I am in John's program. It's been wonderful, the best money that I've spent. I am in the, Gene and I are both in the mobile home business, and because of John, and with all his training and his help, and he truly does stand by your side with anything and everything that you need, any questions, any kind of help that you need. And it is a really good business for us. And this last year has been, excuse the expression, hell for us in traditional home sales and stuff, so investing. But the mobile home business has been good to us. So thank you, John,
so
and anyone
Val.
Who's listening, if you're thinking about it, John's program is the way to go. You will not regret taking his program.
Well, sounds like one happy customer. I thank you so much for coming
yeah,
sure. on, and you know, having these kind of testimonies are really, really important, and I think he's got a good niche going, and I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing really well with that.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Val, do you have you been keeping up with John in our Facebook group? Because he is doing some good things in Pennsylvania as well. I'm not sure if you have, but I'm going to connect both of you because there may be an overflow and definitely some things that you and Gina can do out there.
Okay. Yeah, I think I briefly saw him out there and kind of thought, yeah, he was in the area somewhere, but I wasn't sure. But as you know, we've been quite busy with our other issue, and so we're just now starting to get back on track But yeah, okay. Get us connected, and we'd be happy to talk with him and see what's going on.
Awesome. Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. And if you want to know more about his program, you will go to http://mobilehomeformula.com/gene, G-E-A-N.
Yep, we got a special webinar actually a special for everyone listening, so that's the one to go to, mobilehomeformula.com/gene.
Yep, that way we know that you heard about this on this call. Okay, we have another question. And this is a 919 area code. 919 area code. Hello.
Sorry about that. I had my phone muted. Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that. I had my phone muted.
That's okay.
Hi, John. This is Cliff. And the question I had, this sounds kind of like doing a lease option. Is that what this is?
In what respect?
Well, it sounds kind of like you're doing a lease option for, you know, the person that's moving into the property, and the 3 to 7 might be an option consideration, and you're doing a balloon at 5 to 10 years, but amortizing over a longer term.
Oh, good point. No, we're not. And really, that sort of lease option would be, that would be considered some sort of installment sale anyway, because if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. But no, this is not, the paperwork is not a lease option. When we're talking about parks, not purchasing, not when we sell. When we sell with a mobile home on land, I do use a lease option for 2 years to make sure that the people in the home are who they say they are and they're going to be on-time payers. But as far as that goes, no, it's not a lease option. We are selling complete interest in the home day one. We're buying complete interest in the home when we buy it from our seller. So, yeah, no. And I'm not, and if that's the way that you want to go, I just had last week a really good, I had a Dodd-Frank expert on my call with the group, with everyone, and sort of frowned against that. Because, again, if it's, you know, if it's an option where part of the, you know, monthly rent credits or proceeds are going to the principal or going to the home with some sort of, you know, magic bullet in there, magic language, you know, that's going to be considered still an installment sale. So just sort of be careful. But, yeah, so
okay. In
short, it's not. Did that help? Or you have a follow-up question or anything like
that?
No,
that's pretty interesting. It's just I'm just very curious how that's put together. It sounds like you have something very unique there.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, yeah, you do sell them the property or the house, and it's theirs, and the only way that it won't stay theirs is if they miss payments, and then it reverts back
and
to a rental. Yeah, and so you've got all of that covered, and your 11 or 12 years experience, you probably fine-tuned your paperwork to a T. So I would, yeah, if you've got any interest in the mobile homes. In fact, who was it? One guy said that they were, mobile homes were 10 cash cows. So
there's not too many of us that are preaching mobile homes, so it was probably maybe Lonnie Scruggs is the grandfather of this business. It was probably him, you know, rest in peace. He passed away a few years ago, but they certainly are. And you know, that sort of saying that, although it's funny, and I've said that many times myself, I almost get, I see the harm that it's doing. It's like this subtle prejudice that we have towards mobile homes, that they're just tin cans, that they're wobbly boxes, that they're, you know, they're only fit for the lower class of society. And that's not the case. A lot of folks who I'm selling to now, they come from traditional housing. They see how beautiful these homes are, some of them, mind you, of course. They can pay them off in 5-10 years. They can own the home, not the land, but, you know, if it's on land, then, of course, the land. But, you know, these homes are really, well, you know, most of them are well put together. They have all the appliances. They have all the, you know, everything that you need, central heat and air, roof, walls, good-looking inside. So, Yeah, but yeah. they certainly do make cash flow for the investor, you know, and
okay.
And it's a great business to be helping the sellers that really need to sell, to helping buyers that are literally, you know, crying because they are happy, and that's way more moving to me. The few times that particularly happened, and I get a lot of thank you notes and things like that, but to actually have people crying to have their first home that they own, and they're happy with it. You know, you've explained everything. There's no trickery. It's freaking amazing. I mean, you know, I love this
business.
That's
awesome.
So,
well,
yeah.
I know in the presentation that where I saw you present, you gave some, you know, real insight as to the construction of mobile homes and, you know, the different areas of the country and what's required so they don't go blowing off in hurricanes and things like that. So, okay, well, we do have another question. So,
hi, John. This is Mike. I'm actually an investor and in Gene's mastermind group sometimes. My wife and I and our family, we did live in a single wide many, many years ago on some property that our family owns outside of Dripping Springs. And I've often thought, because we were, you know, looking at the idea of building on that property, that land speculation could be a part of a bigger picture. You know, when you're buying mobiles, particularly if they're older and you do plan to move them onto property, have you used that as a strategy in your years of investing as, you know, a way to add value to land and, you know, as an overall way to just, you know, invest?
So to make sure I understand what you're saying, Mike, and thanks for coming on and asking questions.
Sure.
So I buy raw land, or I buy land and then I move a mobile home onto it? Or...
Right, exactly. Yeah, you may find a mobile, you know, somewhere where you're going to have to move it, and you found a good deal on it. Whether you will need to rehab it or not is, you know, I guess it's up in the air. But the whole point is you want to try to add value to the land where you're providing a land home package, and, you know, you're providing a mobile that at some point will be in good shape so that you can then finance that for, you know, a buyer. Or they can
sure.
qualify for a conventional loan, I guess, if it's secured to a permanent foundation.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, excellent question. And the obvious answer to that is absolutely. A couple things to sort of mention. If that's going to be one of the first deals you do, it's much easier to get into this business, depending on what you're looking for. If you're looking for cash flow, if you're looking for profit to learn this business, then there are easier homes, easier land home packages or just home packages to invest in to then make some profit and create some value. However, with that said, Mike, if you're in this business and you have a piece of land that's your family's, or you find a piece of land that's raw or that already has the utilities going to it, it has a pad there. I just picked up a property a couple counties above here in Austin, and there's a mobile home on the front part. There was two lots, and then on the back parcel, there's not a mobile home there, but there was. So that's going to be in the next coming maybe weeks, maybe months. I'm not going to force it, but when I find that right mobile home, which I know I'm going to, I'm just going to move it onto that piece of land. So yeah, absolutely. That is definitely something to think about and do, and I know somebody, I believe in Houston or Dallas, that does that on a, like, that's his business. So yeah, that's a great idea and a great strategy.
Does that, just out of curiosity, does that strategy work better for kind of like a, you know, fix and flip approach where you may make more money on that type of a deal, you know, by buying it and then just, of course, you know, listing it for sale? Or in that case, would you look at it as more like a rental for, you know, buy and hold?
Good point. It depends on the home itself. Depending on the age of the home, the construction, the pad that's there or that you're going to put down to put the home on, that will determine if it's going to be FHA approvable or not, or financeable.
Right.
Really looking at that, looking at how what exit strategy that, like, is most realistic, that would be sort of the thing I would point you to, because the home, it can be beautiful, it can be sitting there, you can rent it out for sure, you can sell it on payments, sure, but can you sell it for cash or can you sell it for a conventional loan, and that will be determined on the home the age of the home, like I said, the construction, the pad, a couple other factors as well. So depending on what exit strategy you want, any of those is good. I mean, you just have to sort of put your, you know, get your chickens in line or ducks in a row before you actually move forward.
Right. I assume you would cover something like that in your courses that you offer if you're interested in learning more about investing in mobiles?
Correct.
Great.
Yep, we cover homes on land, homes in parks, homes that have to be moved to land, management, selling, buying. There's over 100. It's been a labor of love. There's over 100 plus step-by-step tutorials. Whenever somebody asks me, you know, why isn't this in here or how do I do this? Oh, that needs to be another lesson, and they're all in the right order, and I'm always there for to help anybody. So,
well,
but yeah,
sounds like a great investment.
Cool. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for all of your questions. And you know, John, one of the things that you know, I'm understanding that you and I are sort of like on a parallel path because you've got a countrywide reach, and so do I. I mean, it sounds like if somebody needs a situation or a problem and you know somebody that's in that town, you know, you'll just hook them up and they'll team up and start doing business.
Well, it's interesting. Well, I am completely in agreement. One extra step, and I'm not sure if you were mentioning investors or sellers or buyers, but on my blog site, themobilehomeinvesting.net, I have a button on there that's, you know, are you looking to sell? Are you looking to buy? So whenever I have a seller in a certain area, I mean, obviously, I'm just putting that up on our private Facebook group. I'm giving it to my members. If there's a buyer, I kind of push them that way. So
nice.
Although it may not help me, it does, you know, my bottom line is I want to help. I mean, people need stuff. You know, buyers need to buy. Sellers need to sell. Investors need to invest. So if I can be that conduit, you know, I'm
Why
happy
not?
To... Again, yeah, build a name for myself, and yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Help everybody.
Yeah, I've got a group like that, a Facebook group, the Gene Norton Super Secret Society of Real Estate Investors, and you know, if somebody wants to start doing deals in Pennsylvania, it doesn't take long to find somebody that can connect you with the people that you need to be connected with. So, I mean, I think that kind of camaraderie and community is just really invaluable.
Yeah.
So
I agree, especially for long-term success. There are so many folks nowadays, and this is not what we were talking about, but I think whenever you have some sort of following or people look up to you, or maybe not they don't look up to you, but people are listening to what you're saying, that is certainly a position where it should not be abused and not to be taken lightly. And there's so many freaking quote-unquote, you know, gurus or whatever they want to call themselves that are just selling crap products or not, they don't have the right interests in mind, and there's very few folks like Eugene that do, you know. So
I really enjoyed this call. One last chance, if you got any questions for John, a star 6 will get you in the queue. In the meantime, I want to give you a heads up. I did give everybody a heads up about a Florida field trip, and I have backed off on that because I've got a bigger and better field trip coming up a little bit later, and you'll hear more about that as well. I will still do a trip to Florida for my elite group, and if you have heard of my elite group or don't know about my elite group or want to know about it, this will be one of our elite retreats, and it will be in the end of February. It will be a buying trip and a retreat and a nice networking time. And if you're interested in getting into the elite group, please reach out to me, Gene@GeneNorton.com, and we can schedule a time to talk. And okay, so we have another question. Hold on. Is this Bob?
Yes, it is, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. John, I had a quick question for you regarding days on the market.
Sure, Bob.
Hi, John. If there's whatever the days on market is for a given area, is there a big delta for the days on market you'd have for selling a mobile home?
Good question. And the answer is it depends, obviously. But I suppose diving deeper into that question, the if you're going to be selling it for cash, if you're going to be selling it conventionally, absolutely. There is a big correlation there with comparable properties. If it's a mobile home on land, if it's a mobile home in a park, less if it's a mobile home in a park, just because they're so different. You know, it's not, they're just so different in the, there's no land attached to it. But on land, let's talk about a mobile home attached to land. It's real property. If you're selling it conventionally, then yes, there is a correlation there. However, depending on how you're marketing it, of course, and where you're marketing it to, you might be able to find, you know, a buyer quicker, obviously. If you're selling it for payments, that's a whole nother thing there. Obviously, if you're selling it for payments, now you can be somewhat flexible, you know, depending on who you want to put into the home, and then that will sell. I mean, there's so many buyers out there that want to buy for payments. There's a fraction of that want to that have the cash or that can get conventionally approved, not to mention the homes have to be approved as well. There's just a fraction of those folks out there. So it's going to take, you know, just to be completely, you know, let everybody know, if you're selling a mobile home on land, shoot, I mean, unless you're given a really good deal, you know, well below market value, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 months. I mean, it can, depending on your area, it can take a long time for a mobile home on land to sell conventionally. And again, if it's a really good deal, that's a whole different, you know, that's a whole different thing. Obviously, the more attractive that the home is, the quicker you can sell it, or the more attractive the deal is, quote unquote deal, then you can sell it quicker. But good question. There is a correlation on land when you're selling it conventionally. Selling it with payments or other sort of terms, they go very quickly. I don't want my deals. I don't want to hold them for longer than a month or two. Most. And then, and I don't want that to happen to anybody else. So typically they go quicker than that, you know, quicker than a month. However, yeah, it really depends on how you're selling them. Did I answer the question? Did I kind of trail off?
Yeah, as you said at the beginning, it depends. But okay. I hear you saying that I'm just outside the Ann Arbor market, and days on the market in Ann Arbor proper are very quick, less than 30. You get outside of Ann Arbor and into beyond the townships of Ann Arbor, and days on the market can be well over 90. And most of the mobile home parks are ringed around the townships of Ann Arbor. So I'm guessing days on the market for the parks are more like over 90 days rather than Ann Arbor's market of being less than 30.
I would agree. And, you know, that would be a question to ask if you haven't already, to ask an experienced realtor in that market. I rarely use realtors, rarely sell them, well, not rarely, but I don't sell them conventionally as much. I'm looking for cash flow myself. But I would actually be curious to know that as well in your area. Like I said, I'm always trying to learn and educate myself. So if you can find that out maybe and then get back with me, I'd love to know more.
Well, I'll do some research, get back to Gene, and connect with you through Gene.
Okay, perfect. I'm very reachable on my blog site as well, so if you have any questions or concerns.
I've got a ton of questions about how you structure some of your financing.
Okay.
But as you would start to answer any of my questions, it would lead to new questions, and I don't have the forum for that.
Guilty.
All right, thank you, John and Gene.
You're very welcome, Bob. And if you, I don't ever want to be the person stopping anyone or confusing anyone, just the opposite. So if you're active, if you're going to run with this, with my help, without my help, I'm here to, you know, give you some value. So feel free to reach out to me on my blog site as well.
I'll do that, John. I'd like to share with you what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, and I certainly you piqued my interest with this conversation.
Right on.
A true entrepreneur, bye-bye. Another bright, shiny object. to go look into. So that's funny. Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for being here on Saturday afternoon. And John, thank you so much. Next week, I have a lady that has started her own crowdfunding company for real estate investors. So I think that'll be real interesting to see how investors like us can actually have access to pooled money to do our deals. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
Don't
miss next week. And John, thanks again. Let me give everybody the website again is mobilehomeformula.com/gene.
Yep, that's where they can watch a very, very, very informative webinar. And then the blog site is mobilehomeinvesting.net. Yep, that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, everybody, and thanks a lot, John. I really appreciate you being here. I still have a ton more questions, but, you know, we're over an hour as it is. But but anyway, yeah, well, thanks a lot. And every time I talk to you, I think about looking into that some more. So anyway, well, thanks, everybody. You guys have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.